Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 3 November 2021. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. Wednesday night already. How fast time goes by. A week is nothing any longer. In a few minutes, I'm going to bring up a very, very special guest. So y'all want to stay tuned for this, I promise. Before I do that, though, a couple announcements. Tomorrow, of course, is Thursday. If the Lord willing, I'll be in office all day tomorrow from 9 to 4 Eastern. Maybe just if you want to call and just say hello, I'd love to hear from you. I mean that. And new callers, please don't be shy about calling us in the office. We want to talk to you, too. We want to get to know you. You're part of the family. So come in and join us, all right? If you want to place an order, whatever you want to do, give a donation tomorrow, you call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And of course, we still have the special on the 3-for-1 on the REM sleep and the tranquil. Volume 3 book will be out hopefully next week. If you want to get a copy of that, what's coming out. Super Quick Clean Gun is here now, folks, and people ordered by the case. Really, they are. It's that good. I'm serious. I mean that. And we're going to have church this coming weekend, as you already know. I mentioned last night, we're going to have Bible study. And you can join us if you like by going to our website, PastorButch.com, and go in there and find live stream and click on that. And there will be a 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We're doing always a prayer request and praise reports the first half hour or so. At 11:30, we get into current events. And at 1 o'clock, we'll have Dr. Judy Mikovits on to share testimony information about what's going down with the COVID and how to maybe even reverse the shot, folks. I'm serious. So don't miss this. And you can join us, as I said, by live stream on PastorButch.com. If you can't do that, you can call us on a number. Just have to dial 339-209-5013. That's 339-209-5013 to listen live, and you can call and talk to us. There'll be a number on the screen behind me in the studio there in Phil's house. So love to hear from you. I do mean that. I really do. And prayer request tonight for Mick. Y'all know who Mick is, New Mexico. He asked prayer for him and his wife and some other things. And Russ Dizdar's wife, Shelley. You know, Russ passed away a couple weeks ago. A big loss to the army of God, that's for sure. Sad to see happen. Of course, Russ had a lot of enemies that hated him because of the way he exposed and evil is involved in a lot of different societies, including Amish. And right now, Shelley, the last news I had was a little while ago. Her organs are not functioning right. She's in ICU. Please, folks, keep Shelley in prayer. I'm convinced this is a spiritual attack. It's turned into a physical happening. So please keep Shelley in your prayers. Please. And in the way, some good news, if you don't mind me sharing it with you, A few hours ago, Marsh and I become great-grandma and grandpa for the first time. We have a grandson born to our oldest grandchild, Madison. That's our middle son's daughter, so we are now a great-grandma and grandpa, a little fellow named Jackson. I want to share it with you. And thanks, folks, for caring and appreciate that. It's good news. We're kind of excited. We haven't been a great-grandpa before, so grandma, so we are brand new to this. And looking forward maybe to getting to see the little fellow sometime soon. But now our guest tonight, Elizabeth Melendez Fisher Good, is a lady who has a story to share, folks, that's going to touch your heart in more ways than one. It's going to break your heart at first, but it's going to make you rejoice at the every testimony of what's happened to her. She is, she's a key leader in the anti-sex trafficking movement and CEO of the Foundation United, formerly the Sila Way Foundation, and she started a new program called Free With E. Now, we're going to discuss that in a little bit. But in addition to spending over a decade pioneering solutions in the anti-sex trafficking space, she said, also spent more than 20 years struggling in my personal life to overcome destructive patterns from the past, feeling that I was made for more, but not sure how to crack the code. Now, folks, I know that's happened to a lot of people. She's written a book called Groomed. We're going to tell you, I'll get a copy of that book in a little bit. But she said the stakes are too high and reputation and credibility of our Christian witness has never been more at risk because the enemy is prowling like a lion seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. He's looking for cracks in the wall, anywhere to get a foothold. And the old, I had no idea, or I wasn't even aware of that, isn't going to work anymore. We need to protect our congregations and to thereby usher in a new era of freedom from any and all of the enemy's strongholds, the shame, secrets, and hiding behind the mask in ministry. And folks, I'm looking forward to making a copy of this book myself. I haven't got to see it yet, but reading her background and what she went through touched my heart. So I want to get on the program tonight to let her share her testimony. And listen, if you're out there anywhere in the world tonight, you hear this broadcast, if you've been caught up in any of these situations that we're going to talk about tonight, there is hope, there is victory. I'm talking about pure, total victory in Jesus Christ. I promise you there is. He has the power and authority to deliver you from whatever is tormenting you. I don't care what it may be. Your own conscience, perhaps. Demons, devils, whatever you want to call them, are tormenting you. Christ can deliver you, and Christ can do it miraculously. When I talked to Elizabeth today, I was so, when I heard her voice, it cheered me up just to hear her voice. She's so upbeat and so thankful what our God's done for her. But I'm going to let her tell the story. Elizabeth Good, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I am fine, sweetheart. And thank you for taking time to join us tonight. I mean, really, thank
Absolutely.
You so much. Thank you so much.
It's an
honor.
Thank you.
Right back at you. I mean, for somebody that you told me what you went through today, I say this as a complete compliment. You're tough. I mean, you're tough.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, so, but share with the folks a little bit about, tell people who you are first. Who is Elizabeth? What is your background as far as work and different things? And let's get into the story that happened to you.
Okay. Well, you know, I currently play the role as a founder, one of the founders and CEO of the Foundation United, and that's a global anti-human trafficking organization that ties together some of the best leaders and best organizations to do exponentially more. We sort of started working only in America because there was such a secret of childhood sexual abuse, and that leads to kids running away, and that leads to secrets and trafficking and all kinds of stuff, and then just the Lord grew it into this global mission that together we are just doing amazing, amazing things on that front. But while I was doing that, or actually prior, I was in ministry in Chicago. I was with one of the first mega churches, Willow Creek Community Church, sort of where I grew up. And I was an area pastor there. So I saw a lot in my 15 years at a big mega church. But I think, do you want me to tell them, like this morning when you said, you know, what's your background? You know, that's what I'm doing today, but how it sort of happened.
Yeah, you feel free, please. Well, tonight is your program, really. I want you to relax and share what the Holy Spirit tells you to share.
Yeah. Well, you know, Butch had asked me earlier, you know, what my background was and, you know, how I got through and how I came through. And I think I started just by being like that little girl that was so deeply in love with Jesus by the time I was 7, which I think pretty much saved me from all of the things that you'll hear. But I think that my relationship when I was little, I was raised in my father's family, which is a Puerto Rican family, and my mom is Irish, O'Brien. We grew up in Chicago in a Southern Baptist church, which is, you know, unusual. It should have been Catholic with that type of background. But Southern Baptist, like, grew up like in Awana, sword drills, you know, like really in the word when I was little. And then every summer, we would go to my mom's family, who lived in Arkansas, and they were Holiness Pentecostal. So, like, I had the Baptist roots, I had the Pentecostal roots, the gifts of the Spirit, the healing tongue, you know, like, I grew up in all of it. So I think by the time I was 7, when tragedy started hitting, the Lord had me firmly in his grasp.
Amen.
So I think, yeah, I think that's the reason I'm okay today, quite honestly, because that never wavered. I think the faith of a child, if you really have it, it stays with you. So what I shared earlier with you, you know, the story is, you know, by the time I was 7, right before I turned 7, my sister was tragically killed in an accident, a shooting accident, coming home from Arkansas involving a rifle, just a mess with in our family. And she was 15, my brother was 17, I was 7, and then she was just instantly gone. And that, you know, families handle that different ways. Mine went silent. No one mentioned her name. No one talked about how horrific. And I was the youngest of probably 35 cousins, and I was just sort of left and forgotten and quiet while everyone else was in their own grief. So I just wanted to pack it up, still had Jesus, got it, you know, kept it going.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
When I was about, you know, 11, 12 years old, going to Arkansas every summer was sort of my reprieve, because they talked about everything, you know, if there was something, because farms, I think, normalize a lot. Animals die, death and dying is a little more normal. So I always loved, that was like my... everything. Had a little
let me ask you one question. How did your family finally end up dealing with this? What did they finally do to handle this pain? Anything?
Nothing.
Or just kept silent?
No.
Just kept
silent. I am telling you, but you'll get my book, and in my book it sort of steps into that story a bit, and I went around and had to speak with different family members, because even talking about it now, like, they just, it's like they never spoke her name again, quite honestly. Because since it was an accident, no one wanted to make the person feel bad that did the accident. And it just was one of those things, like the elephant in the room that no one's talking about.
Wow.
So,
you know, I can see their point. But dealing with grief that way sometimes is really hard to do. But you go ahead. I don't interrupt your story. But that's, I'm just curious about that, because be losing a child anyway at all, especially if somebody had it, it's got to be rough. But you go ahead.
Yeah, well, whereas in Arkansas, my mom's sister lost a son almost the very next summer in a super catastrophic way. But they talked about him constantly. Hey, do you want me to make you Danny's favorite breakfast? Like, his memory lived on. And I think that's why I loved going there. It was like my reprieve. So
right.
Very different,
okay.
Even though same family. But by the time I went back to when I was 12, one of my favorite, like, family uncles.
And one more question. Where were you living then? Where were you living then? What state were you in?
We were still Chicago. Yep, still Chicago.
A whole different culture. Okay, go ahead. All right. A
whole different culture. From Chicago to Arkansas. It covers quite a bit. From Melendez to O'Brien. you got the gambit. But that one summer when I went back when I was 12 to my, you know, summer reprieve, I had an uncle, family friend uncle, that I was getting ready. I'd always sleep there. His daughters were like my cousins, and just a lot of cousins in Arkansas. And one morning, I was in the bathroom at like 12 years old, and he sort of comes in, and he just grabs me. And he's like, you've grown since you were here, and just starts molesting me. And I'm like, you didn't even believe it was real. And then I'm like, and then he just snuck out, almost like you see a serpent, like, just leave, snake out of the bathroom. And I was like, what? And then I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna. Maybe he didn't mean that. That was odd. And then we get in the truck to start heading to church.
I don't want to keep interrupting, but this is so important. You said he molested you. Did he go all the way with that?
Nope. Just the shock, and it's what we sort of talk about grooming. You start here, you start there, and somebody goes silent. They go. You get paralyzed if you don't have a voice to speak up. So just touching and grabbing, and then we get in the truck, and on the way to church, it happened again. And I was in the car, and then he had my cousin get out to go do something, and then more and further and more. And, I mean, all the while just staring at me, like, with this weird, powerful face, like, just looking at me.
Do you think he was trained in this and knew what to do?
You know, what I've learned decades and decades through all of this is most abusers were abused, and they either come into a place where they will remain a victim or they'll never be a victim again, and they become the predator. So, you know, his family line, it's usually generational, and that's why it's an issue for the church, because it is generational. We are called to, you know, break out of the sins of our fathers.
Right,
and
right.
So what the whole, you know, cliff or the clutcher that no one saw coming is that, you know, as we get to church, what happens? He grabs his guitar out of the back and runs to the front of the stage as the worship leader. And I go into the bathroom and just cry and cry and cry and think, I don't know what to do. And from that moment on, like just a tweak, it changed everything. In a moment, it changes a child. And again, because I was groomed not to say anything when there's tragedy, I said nothing. But when I went to sit next to my other uncle,
I just can't get over the fact that this pervert had the unconscious, that made no conscience, no guilt, to go from doing what I did to you twice, and then go to the front of the church and start singing praise songs. Talk about a callous hypocrite, but go ahead.
Right. Well, that's why I think, you know, if you look at what I'm doing today in the church and bringing the message and the ministry I'm bringing to the church, I think I was prepared for that since I was little, you know, because I've seen it again and again over the last decades. This is not so uncommon, sadly, the predator to go take his position on the platform.
Wow. Okay, and you go ahead. I mean, I want to get the details of it, because people, my mind can't wrap around this. You know, I'm definitely not a perfect person, but I can't imagine a conscience being so seared that they could do this and go on and pretend to be a Christian. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's what when you said, do you think this is common? I'm like, sadly, it is so common for a fact.
Wow.
I know.
Well, yeah.
For a fact. I know. So it just sort of went on from there that I went home and I said nothing. And then I just sort of went through loss after loss. And my parents got divorced. My dad moved out. They never survived the tragedy of my sister. My mom grew more silent. I grew more alone. I was at a party. Someone gave me alcohol. I blacked out. Then I was fully raped. I always say, like, what happened that night finished what the worship leader started earlier. Like, so by the time I was 14, you know, a little church girl here that my friends used to vote me, I'll be the last to ever have sex. She'll be married and still use protection and still you. Like, she was, I was like the perfect girl. And then all of a sudden, everything's stolen. And why I'm passionate about what I do now is because I know what it is. When it's stolen from a child, they no longer even have the gate to care. They're like, I'm worth nothing now. All this was taken from me. What does it matter? And I went from, like, the label of the church girl to the bad girl, which is absolutely shocking. But, you know, the internal part of me never changed. The journaling, the crying out to God never left.
That part, thank God that stayed, but really a part of you died that you nurtured. Part of you had literally died, and I can't comprehend this. By the grace of God, I never went through this, and so I can't really understand all this. But how you at that age, at 12 years old and then 14 years old, whatever, how you can handle that and keep that internalized, I don't know how you did it.
Well,
I really don't know.
I think that's why it made me so compassionate. Like later, like I was always withdrawn. I always was drawn to like 10, 12, 14, 16. Like I care about the root. I mean, the average age of childhood sexual abuse often begins at 3, 4, 5 years old. So I think Satan's whole message, his whole strategy is if he cannot get us in the womb, let me get sexual abuse in there because that kid's destiny will just be thrown off course, sometimes never to be reconciled. And I think that's where, you know, now that I've been in this work and in this field for the last 25, gosh, almost 30 years, story after story is not that different from mine. Women that all of a sudden, as their children reach, you know, junior high age, are having panic attacks because they're all of a sudden remembering, I'm sending my daughter to youth group. I was molested in youth group. The stories of the secrets and the ways things happen. And now for the ministry that I do run, we get phone calls, gosh, more than one monthly about, you know, the church saying, what do I do? A youth pastor on a weekend away had sex with a 12-year-old and, you know, senior leadership is not doing anything about it. We told them, like, there's this secret sin and this abuse that is so deeply rooted and hidden in the church, which is supposed to be the very place that we're safe. And I think Satan knows you've gotten a lot of people that can't speak about it, and then you have patterns of generations of people that it happened to them, and they are maybe not going to ever be a victim again, but they're abuser, but yet they've wow. been raised in the ministry. Like, it's pretty messed up. So
this is my greatest passion.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom. I know a very dear friend of ours passed away just a couple weeks ago, Russ Dizdar, from lived in Ohio.
Yeah.
He and some friends had uncovered what was going on in the Amish community. Really, really terrible yeah. thing going on. And, of course, he was a warrior. He went right to their fellowships and exposed them. And, I mean, this man's a warrior. And we hate that he's lost to us now. But nonetheless, so he searched out things and found things that you found, probably. And I wish y'all could have met each other. You would have really been able to edify one another in this battle. So, but you come through teenage years. How did it affect your relationship with other boys? And I'm talking about good boys. How did it affect that?
Well, I think the key word there is good boys. When you've been used so horrifically by men, and even the men that you love more than anything could, I mean, that uncle that did that was my favorite man in the world. There's no one I would have run to and felt more safe with prior to that happening. So it actually changes everything about, like, what I say now to people that we're working with and walking them through healing is like you have a bumper sticker on your forehead, and until that bumper sticker gets pulled off that says, like, rape me, abuse me, you know, hurt me, I have no self-esteem, until that's gone, it's like you are putting out a radar, and that's all you attract. You don't attract. And if the good guy does come along, you don't even think that that's what you want, because you have been groomed for this darkness. And it's like,
you know,
Satan takes over.
As I've seen that as a pastor, mm-hmm. so many families where daughters had abusive daddies, abusive mommies, or maybe drunkards, or maybe abused them, they marry the same kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
They marry the same kind of man.
It's generational. The stats are no different in the church, out of the church. They're no different what zip code, wealthy, poor. It is generational, and it's typically one out of three little girls, one out of five little boys have this generational pattern of abuse, and the church is the last place to talk about it, and that's why my greatest mission now is to make it the first place to talk about it, because for years as a pastor and in ministry in Chicago, and then the last 11 years working with sex trafficking survivors, it's the same. It could be the wealthy suburb where I lived in Chicago, or these girls from these all kinds of neighborhoods in sex trafficking. Their stories started the same, and one of them just happened to, her abuse path led her to a trafficker. Another one's abuse path led them to a violent husband. You know, they both keep secrets. They both stay where they shouldn't stay, and they both don't ever feel they have the power to leave.
You know, and it's really sad to say, and I'm bragging on me. This is the glory of God. He showed me this years ago. As a pastor, I started covering things in church, what we call current events, what's happening in the world. I mean, literally today, and showing scripture to back up what we're saying, because we are fulfilling prophecy. Everybody wants to put everything in the past or the future. We're living prophecy right now. And if you take the scripture, it'll show you what's happening in the world right now. So we cover all these issues, not so much what you're talking about now, because I've never been involved that too much. I may have Tavi sometime speak to our group by Zoom and tell them about what's going on behind the scenes. We're a very small group where we meet, but we go all over the world on computer. PastorButch.com. Or type in my name, Pastor Butch Paul, you'll find all the videos we do live on the internet. But nonetheless, what you're saying now is very true. The churches shun these topics. They shun them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say they're too embarrassed to talk about them. Well, my gosh, we got to talk about them. If we don't, who's going to?
I know. Rolling out a program right now, and we're piloting it in the churches. We're starting with an Assembly of God church and a non-denominational church where the pilot is beginning, because this has to end. Like, if you are supposed to not commit the sins of your father and you can't talk about it in church, how are you going to ever break that cycle? So this power of freedom and deliverance has to become normalized, and we're bringing the unspeakable in because we have to start speaking. And the program's called Real Talk, and it's getting the church to talk about the things that matter. You know, like, we have it rolling out in the public schools. We have it rolling out in the secular community, and that curriculum is called Speak Up, and that's under the human trafficking umbrella. That you could do, because it's human trafficking, it's not too close to home, even though it could, you know, your kid could be groomed for it. But you come to the church and say, we want to talk about this, it's never been allowed. So we're finally, like, packaging it up, saying it's time to train the trainer, we can't have it anymore. Every adult that's in your church needs to be trained, to have eyes to see, ears to hear and all speak the same language, so the child, if something's happening, knows how to actually speak about it, and that the adults are trained to actually receive it.
How have you been received in churches? When you speak to other people that go to church, or we'll call them Christians, how have you been received?
Well, what I could tell you is the last 10 to 12 years, as I've been leading the sex trafficking, I feel like that started to part the waters. Coming in and speaking about that was a little distant enough, and it began the conversation. And now, 10, 12 years later, we've sort of groomed the churches. We've conditioned them to, okay, that was a locker, the sex trafficking thing. We're having that conversation. We understand the root might have happened at home. But for 10 years, we got them used to it. So Now, I think they're ready. We're stepping in because, you know what, ready or not, it's time. Organized crime is organized. Enemy.
Amen.
You know, he's marching. And the church has got to get out of their silos, take their little earmuffs off, and get to it.
Well, now, so I would suppose, with you going through the churches and doing this, that you probably have opened up a few hornet's nests and maybe exposed a few evils inside the church bodies, have you not?
Yeah, of course. Of course. And you know what? It's I always tell, because sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Some people have their own secrets. They have their own addictions. You know, porn is something that, you know, back when I was little, I'm in my 50s, right? Back when we were young, porn was Playboy. It was airbrushed. It wasn't even that, you know. It's sort of what they say. It equals the cover of Cosmo magazine now.
And it wasn't easy to find. It wasn't in front of you all the time. And internet. Wasn't easy to find. I mean, we were 12, 13 years old. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea.
Someone might have one stashed over there or stashed over there, but it wasn't every second.
No, it wasn't everywhere. Yeah. But you go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is fascinating to me. It really is. So you have confronted this in churches, and have you seen deliverances done in these churches and maybe healings done and people exposed that need to be exposed?
Well, because the piece of it is, like, there's the guy side where maybe he was the abused or now he's the abuser, or because of stuff that happened to him, he then turned to porn. Like, what it does is it defiles. You know, the Lord made sex to be beautiful between a husband and a wife. And Satan's looking for every avenue to defile that, right, and take it the wrong way. Often when a man has something happen or he opens the door, they say that the statistics tell us now that pornography, most kids are addicted to porn by 8 or 9, exposed to it by 8 or 9. Addictions could be formed by 8, 9, 10, 11. But by 12 years old, if they've seen porn that consistently, it's rewiring their neural pathways. So it's grooming a whole generation that can't even have intimate relationships with an actual person because they're so desensitized to a screen. And so you're wondering why these marriages. So the outcome, even years later, I'm seeing women that are like, yes, you know, my husband and I.
Okay, hang on to the break. Don't lose that thought, okay? Hang on to the break, please. Folks, take a phone call next half hour, 844-769-2944. I told you that you was going to enjoy the nice guest. She's a powerhouse. Back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, had no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store-bought foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we're back in. We're talking to Elizabeth Good, and we're discussing her life and what she went through and what she's doing now, trying to help other boys and girls, men and women, out of this damnable chained-in prison that they lived in for years because they were afraid to speak up. They were afraid they felt unworthy. They felt dirty. I can't even imagine how they feel, folks. My mind just doesn't go there because I've been blessed not to go through that. But I've been able to talk to several people who have. One young lady used to attend one of the churches I pastored who was molested by her grandfather. And I remember getting in a church service and testifying to that and sharing some things. And I just, wow. And how anyone can call themselves a Christian and do this has to be demonically possessed. Their conscience has to be seared. Mm-hmm. And that is so, so sick and sad. I'm just telling you during the break there, Elizabeth, that this coming, the 20th of this month, make Marsh Jean and I 50 years together. And as corny as it may sound, I still like holding her hand. I still like her having sat in my lap once in a while and cuddle with her. After 50 yeah. years, she's still my best buddy, my best friend. And I don't mind saying my lover. That's who she is. And mm-hmm. It's beautiful. We have six grandchildren now and a great grandchild. So, and we still like each other. So I think it's a pretty good record.
I really mm-hmm. do. Well, you must have some purity going on there. That's what keeps that going. And that's what Song of Solomon is. That's true. That's biblical.
Well, it is true. And the longer you're married, if you really love each other and live together like you should, you get closer as time goes along. And you need each other more every day. And it's true. Yeah. And a lot of different ways, because you become more as one with each passing day. You become closer together and knit together more as one individual.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know? That's God's plan. But that's why we have an enemy trying to defile that, right? Because that's how you have future generations of kids stepping into their purpose.
Oh, yeah, that's... That's why Satan, through all his minions now in charge of our so-called government, are destroying the families. When the family's destroyed, there's nothing left to build on. If the family's destroyed, there's the building block of the whole world, our families. Once you're destroyed, there's nothing left to build on. The foundations have been destroyed. But back to what you were talking about and what you were sharing, you were saying that you obviously went in the churches where you were blessed by God to help people uncover some things in the churches and get them back on the right path. Now, you continue on to your story now, because I want to get all this on. Like, folks, the lines are open if you have any questions. 844-769-2944. And for those of you that hear this program as a rebroadcast, I'm sorry, because I know some of y'all like to call in. But you listen to different places where we rebroadcast for the weekend. I'm sorry about that. But if you want to call me in the office anytime and talk to me, you can do that on any Thursday between 9 and 4 Eastern at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We may get a little busy, but folks, I promise you, we'll have you call back or I'll call you, because I want to talk to you. I am not unreachable. I try to do my best to be a servant of Christ, and I want to be a part of your family, and you mine. But go ahead, please, Deb, let's finish more information for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the thing is with leaders, and, you know, I started in ministry in my late 20s, right? I'm 52 now. My early 20s wasn't completely healed myself. And the reason I can speak to this with such passion is because I was that church leader full of secrets on the stage, acting all judgmental. Like my husband always say, oh, whoever that is that's like judging everybody a little too harsh, you know, they're going home and probably watching kiddie porn. I'm like, you know, you're right. I still had my own secrets, I was full of judgment, you know. And when you are sort of walking in your freedom, you walk in compassion, you can see things, you understand, and the light in you draws truth out, and it's different. And it's interesting. So I think now, you know, I used to have in me, like, I'd see a couple in the church, and, you know, I went through horrific marriage years in the beginning, just horrible, horrible, with a husband that just really had some stuff, and he wasn't going to turn it over. And I think that I would look at other couples longingly, like, oh, look what they have, or look at that. And it's weird, because over the time I've learned that whenever I look with, like, this too much, looks too perfect or too much admiration, within years, a few years, stuff starts coming out, and it wasn't what it looked like. And so now I learn only idol, you know, your eyes are on God, nothing perfect. But there's been times now that with this new ministry that I'm stepping in and that we've been doing for the last 10, 12 years, couples that have been, after I got my healing at 34, I had a complete transformation. Like, the Lord sent a combination of all the denominations I was raised in. And through a charismatic Catholic priest, I had, like, all my stuff exposed. Like, humbling. And why would God love me so much to expose it? I was on the stage in ministry probably because he knew he had to get me pure and clean. Otherwise, I couldn't be where I am now, you know, 20 Amen. Years later almost.
Well, you know, it's amazing, too, how through his mercy and his sovereignty, he can take something that happened to us in the past that wasn't his yeah. perfect will to happen, but he can take it and mold it in us to bring out the good in us to reach other people, and a compassion to reach other people. That's the kind of God we serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. Through all the abuse, through the horrific, you know, living with a, you know, covering for an abusive husband, all the things that I did, that's the norm that's happening in the church now. So it helps me now as I walk through this season of leadership to love the women enough that are safe enough to tell me the truth. Like, they tell me I know who's married to a husband that knows to only beat them in certain places that it'll never show with their clothing, you know, behind their hairline or certain places.
Oh, my.
And they cover, they're like, but he loves me. And now they're starting to tell me, and as they speak their stories, these leaders, the Lord's taking the scales off their eyes. And so I almost said, I was talking to my agent the other day, I said, I feel like my next book should be, hey, ladies, we're not doing him any favors. Because I think, you know, it's been so beaten into us that God hates divorce and, you know, women just be submissive. And I think women, sometimes we live under abuse, and that's not what God meant. You know, that was Malachi 13, was speaking to the men. It was saying, men, stop doing this and this and this to your women.
There is nowhere in the Bible where a woman is told to have to stay with an abusive husband. That's not in the Bible. I didn't say necessarily divorce and not stay with him. It's not safe.
They're
the father. Well, it is, but they're to follow them as long as they follow God.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, the women, I've had, you know, men say, I wish my mother had held me more accountable. I wish my wife had held me more accountable. Nobody ever really held me accountable. I was able to just charm my way out of it. And you know, they're finally talking about their addictions, but they're like, what if when I was young, you know, people didn't cover for me? So I think we have a generation of covering for each other's sins because we just don't want to expose it. But the sooner we expose it, it's not to expose it to condemn or expose it to remove. It's expose it to have it, you know, confess your sins one to another. The prayer of a righteous man has the authority to heal. You want your husband or your wife restored to her high calling and destiny. And when we're covering for this stuff in our homes, like so many people that I deal with say, my dad was abusing me and my mom knew and she didn't do anything.
Oh,
and
wow.
That mom, generationally herself, she, you know, patterns show that she'd been abused and no one ever advocated for her. And that's why we're saying it's time for the church to start speaking to this, because until someone has their own healing, they can't even advocate. So typically when people volunteer to work in children's ministry, it's because they have their own wound from when they were a child. But yet if they're not healed, they don't even have the voice to report if they see something. So like all of this is where we're coming in with this amazing programming to uncondition the way the church has been groomed to keep secrets, to save face.
Wow.
When in reality, the Lord wants it opposite. He doesn't want you to condemn each other, but he wants you to expose it so that people could have a chance to repent. Because once you go to repentance, you're able to take your position again. If your heart is true, you could go to that true position the Lord created you for.
Amen.
There's so many people living under their purpose, right?
Amen. Well, you know, one of the hardest things to do, obviously, is repent, period. And if you've been playing a game and you have a facade of being righteous, it hurts your pride, especially to say, I did wrong. You know, it does.
And sometimes we don't even know it. We're so conditioned. And we're just, you know, if you were raised in it, you know, when I had my healing at 34, I was raised in an abusive home. I was raised with pornography everywhere. I wouldn't even have said I had my own addiction to porn because it was so normal that marrying my husband didn't seem odd to me because I was raised in that home. But we went to church every Sunday. So I thought I was a great Christian, and this is what all Christian homes did.
So your dad and mom were involved in porn, and they took you to church?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to digest that. So they went to church.
I know.
Both of them were involved in it, and they were involved in porn while they were going to church, and I'm saying this politely, but playing Christian.
Oh, 70%. The staff tell us today that 70% of pastors struggle with a sexual addiction. I mean, the staff of pastors versus men out of the church are pretty darn close. I think that, you know, we just keep thinking, you know, oh, I could trust them. They're in the church. A lot of times the same secrets are there. They just are covered with a beautiful, charismatic, Bible verse quoting, you know, kind-hearted pastor that goes home, or a leader, or a woman, you know? We all have been so broken in society. We've just been groomed for these places that we were never meant to be. And I think that's why now the excitement with, you know, through the Foundation United, we're bringing it everywhere possible that is not a church, because this is the focus of awakening the world. But the church is a specific ministry, and the church with a capital C globally has to rise up, because truly, 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 outside of the church, sex trafficking and all this abuse and all this porn, it's not going to be shut down unless the church gets free and clear. It can rise up into its own impenetrable army. And then trafficking, organized crime, all of this stuff won't even be an opponent, won't be worthy, if the church can walk as one with a pure heart and a repentant spirit and humility.
Well, you know, I'm sure that you have children of your own now, and I'm sure you really watched over them best you could and safeguard them. But how did that affect your relationship with your children? I mean, knowing what you went through, how did that affect you with dealing with your own children?
You know, I think it made me too much of a helicopter mother, and almost stifling them before they had an opportunity, you know. I think my third born is the healthiest. By the time he was growing up, I was like, I'm just too tired, God, this one's yours, you know. And he probably might well pass it, because my faith was really genuine. I was really pure. I was in a different place. You know, his older siblings had a different experience. Who we are and what stage we're in our parenting is what makes all the difference in the world of how our kids come. You know, so I was with my first two not the greatest place. And so they went through a much more difficult time because I was, you know, holding everything from them, not even realizing because I still had my own stuff. And then when I got all cleaned out, there was just this freedom and this flow, and everything just flowed differently. So I think my thirdborn got to walk in that. So.
Well, you know, it's amazing, and we got to get the phone calls, man. Folks, I'll get to y'all in a minute, I promise. 844-769-2944. But it's amazing, yet it's certainly common sense. It's something like happened to you when you're 11 years old. An incident that didn't last forever. It was over quickly and wasn't really all the way into a total abuse. But it scarred you the rest for years.
It's before a you lightning bolt. Yep. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
It's like a lightning bolt, and you're never the same. And then it sets you up to be more susceptible to the next.
Wow. Wow. And I've got to ask this question. I've got to get the phone calls, like I promised. But how did it affect your next several years? I mean, what did it do to you from that time on?
Well, it made me super promiscuous. And that's why we have this curriculum now, because typically the kids that are labeled promiscuous, bad, don't let your kid hang around with them, those are the ones that had something happen to them. I was horrible. I thought, you know what, I'm just, you know, who cares? I have nothing left. I felt worthless. So I was just an open vessel, you know, didn't care. I was used, abused, and had no worth. It didn't matter. It's amazing what I was able to live through, because in today's world, I probably would have been a trafficking victim, you know, and by the grace of God.
Wow. You know, I'm listening to share this, and I'm sitting here trying to digest what you're saying, because it's something that you went through, and I'm sure hundreds of thousands of other girls went through also. I'm having a hard time understanding how anybody can do that to someone, but obviously it happens all the time. Whether you like it or not, it's going on every day. And one more quick question, we'll get the phone calls. How prevalent is this, not just in the churches, but everywhere? How prevalent? I mean, you said 1 in 5 boys and 1 in 3 girls. That is hitting at least every other home, seems like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's why, like, when I'm sitting anywhere, I'm like, if it wasn't you, look to your left, look to your right. It was one of them. Like, that's how close to home it is, and that's why we got to normalize these conversations. Because if we can't normalize it, we don't even have a line of defense for the next generation. Because everybody, if it happens to you and you're able to speak about it, people intervene immediately and you are told it's not your fault. And, you know, it's the regular story is, I told my mom and she didn't believe me. I told so-and-so and they did nothing. What we know now are the stats tell us that less than 4% of reports are false. Kids don't false report.
Oh, my goodness. And have you, you've had, I bet, I'm sure, a lot of young ones come to you and share and ask you for help, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually were asked to speak to a first through third grade class before we came up with this curriculum in a church, a Sunday school. They said, can you speak to our first through third graders? And this little girl was sitting there, and we were talking about, you know, secrets, the difference between a secret and a surprise. And this is the trafficking curriculum. It's so great on foundationunited.com if people want to know more. It's the foundationunited.com. But we were talking about, you know, no adult should tell you to keep their secret. It's very different than like, oh, we're going to have a surprise party. And then when the surprise happens, everyone will know. But a secret that's just yours and mine, you know, it's just teaching them very simple things. And this little girl raises her hand and she goes, but what if you're afraid to tell? And right there, boom, there was able to be an intervention. Yeah, in church.
And by the way, before we get the calls too, how can I get a copy of your book? Tell people how to get a copy of your book.
You can find a link to our human trafficking, to my book, to coaching groups with me if you need healing, how to get your church connected to bring the program into your church. All of that is at free, F-R-E-E, with E. My name's Elizabeth. I go by E. People call me E for short. Freewithe.com. Everything is there.
And if they have a number, they can call. If they're on a computer, they can call and get a copy of your book. Some way to call and get a copy, or any way else, and they do that.
You know, I don't think we have an email. Yeah, so.
Well, a lot of folks listen to the program don't have computers. Okay. Well, we'll do the best. Can
give them your number.
I will. Folks, if you want to copy the book, you let me know. And I'll get a hold of E, and we'll find out how to get a copy.
Yes.
Okay, you just call me if you want me to get it to you. All right. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello,
Jan. People really shouldn't be shocked about this. In the 90s, in Baltimore, Spotlight, a Baltimore Sun section, did a whole story on the Catholic Church and how many abusers there were among the priests in the Catholic churches. And if you go to Netflix and watch The Keepers, you'll find out about a Catholic priest that was a counselor, a guidance counselor, a psychologist, that he had a whole school full of girls. And he preyed on the ones that had confessed to him or told him that they had been abused by a relative. He had a whole line of cops and everybody else that he was trained these girls with. And
wow.
They were abused.
Wow.
A whole line of them. And one nun found out, and she ended up dead. And they never found out who killed her.
Well, that's
wow.
The thing. I mean, look at the whole Jeffrey Epstein. Like, the people that hold the information that could get the others in trouble, they're dropping like flies.
But when the people that they go to that they think are safe, that this one woman went to confess, that's how he found her, and he blamed her. It's her fault.
Yeah.
She liked it.
I think the thing that she's expressing is the normalcy of it, right? There's still so many of the church mm-hmm. that are like, oh, my gosh, it's horrible. I can't hear this. And it's like, well, the whole world knows it. Let's get the church to open their ears because it's not that shocking is what you're
Amen.
Saying.
It took 40 yeah. years for the memories to come back because this priest actually took her and showed her this nun's body before she was found and said, this is what will happen to all of your family and you if you tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they control
the darkness.
Fear.
The darkness is pervasive, absolutely.
But on the other side of it, this fun little boy, he went and he told his mom, and his mom marched down to the Catholic diocese in Baltimore, and that priest, they didn't take him and put him somewhere to get treated. They just moved him. That's how he got to the school.
Yep. Yep,
they
that's what they do.
They just moved him around.
Yes, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And there were thousands of them.
Yeah.
That's a horrible story, but true.
In every denomination. Everywhere.
Very true.
Yeah.
So sad.
So if you don't have a good relationship with your children, where they can tell you anything, as long as it's true, and you do something to help them, you're never going to get this gone. It's never going to go away.
That's very true. Good call, Jan. Jump a good call.
On a happier note, congratulations, great-grandpa. And
well,
tell Marcia congratulations.
I'll do that.
On your great-grandchild.
Hey, I finally got graded something. But anyway, okay. Thanks for calling,
Jan.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left. You want to call, you better hurry. 844-769-2944. After being on the radio 29 years almost, Elizabeth, I found that when people aren't calling, that means they're listening very intently. So you've got an audience like this that doesn't want to interrupt. They want to hear all this. We're down about the last 4 or 5 minutes. I'm going to turn you loose and let you speak from your heart again. Tell folks what they can do, how they can help. Just share with them what you want to share with them and what's in your heart.
Well, what I think is important right now, what's happening is we have a national pilot program rolling out around the country. So it doesn't matter what state you live in, where you live, there is a program made for the schools. It's a K-12 curriculum, and it matriculates each year. Starts by K-12, sort of safe body, safe touch, or your safe triangle of trust with adults, the difference between secret and surprise, and then it goes on to the tactics of grooming. Right now they say 1 out of 9 children are approached through social media by a predator. You know, it used to be stranger danger. Now it's who you kind of know, and it's your darn phone, you know. And the American Academy of Pediatrics tells us that children at 4 years of age, over 75% are given a smart device. And most parents don't even know that those come.
4 years old. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. 4 years old, ridiculous.
They think it's a babysitter, give them a screen, they're going to be content for a few hours. But, you know, every Apple product comes preset to explicit. So unless you know as an adult that when you get it, it's preset to explicit, and you have to go into general settings, restrictions, and change it to Youth 7, PG 13, you know, like all the settings are there. They load them with explicit. So a child says one thing through Siri and an image comes up and you immediately have an imprint on the brain. And so we have a program for the public schools, national pilot, Yale University and Michigan State are our research partners. The efficacy, the, you know, effectiveness and the outcomes, 92% of children walk away having knowledge they didn't have, knowing how to report something, knowing how to see something, understanding grooming in a different way. And this is how a parent can empower their child's entire school system. And if you have your child not in a place that that's going to happen, but you want something for your home on the Foundation United, we have another curriculum, and you can get there through freewithe.com or the Foundation United. .org. But if you go to our prevention page, it tells you how to reach us if you want to get the Speak Up program for your school, or there's a program called Cool Aunt. And the Cool Aunt series is for your family. And it's just a really hip, cool, relative way to talk about all this stuff to your kids. It's videos. It's really not scary, but it normalizes the conversation. And if you're part of a ministry and you want to have your team trained, this systemic training is what we're all about, because unless you change a system where from the custodian to, you know, the people helping with the parking to the leaders to the teachers, they all have the same language and the same grid and are comfortable and have their eyes open enough and have done their own healing to be able to speak to, you know, what a child might come to them and say, because we're going to equip all the children. But if the adults aren't ready to receive the words of them finally speaking up, there's for no point. Right now we're rolling out the churches. So if your church wants to be one of our partners as we bring this to the nation and beyond, it's the time. There's nothing more important. I feel like the enemy is stealing our children and our legacies and Amen. Our purpose and our destiny at exponential rate. Amen. And we have got this. We have all this. We have all the authority and all the power. We have Christ.
You know, whenever you put the children in most, well, even some Christian schools, especially public schools anymore, with the transgenderism and all the perversion going on there, there's no place for them to escape. They either put up in front of them all day in school, put up in front of them in television. It's everywhere all the time. It's just disgusting. And you said something stuck in my mind. You said that, you know, they look and they see this image. And once you see something, you can't unsee it. It's there.
Mm-mm.
You can't unsee it.
That's why they say that the neural pathways of children are being reset by the age of 12 because of these imprints from porn. Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, folks, go to
And then how are we going to have legacy? Yep.
You're not. Freewithe.com. Free with the letter E for Elizabeth. Freewithe.com.
Yep.
Check out our website. Order a book. Elizabeth, thank you so much, sweetheart, for your time and your testimony. Now, let's keep in touch, okay?
Yes, God bless you, please. Very grateful.
All right, honey. Thank you. Right back at you. Talk to you soon. And folks, we love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you in the office tomorrow. Hope to see you there and chat with you a while. I really mean that. And thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for your faithfulness to this ministry. God bless you. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.